If you would go with me to the book of Acts, chapter 4. Who's happy, by the way? This beginning of the year, I had the subject of the moving of the Spirit of God and revival in my heart. So I want us to go to Acts 4. And I'm going to read quite a few verses. And I'm doing this for the benefit of us understanding a little bit of what was taking place in this specific place in the church, and then what happened afterwards. And as they spake unto the people, this is Acts chapter 4, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. So what they were talking about, the resurrection. Because he's alive, you don't have any trouble. All you need is faith in God. Amen. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. So the church was increasing. You have to get that in your spirit, that the New Testament Holy Ghost church is exponentially growing and increasing. There's an increase on every side. Just smile, it's happening. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers, elders, and the scribes, and the Annas, the high priest, and the Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, as many as they were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. So this is a very heavy group of people in the religious sense. And when they had set up in their midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have ye done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole." Amen. Say this with me: miracle settles the issue. Miracle. Say it one more time, because some of you were uncertain. Say, miracle settles the issue. You can have theological conversations, you can have arguments about a verse and so forth, but when there is a miracle and a sign and a wonder that has taken place, then it settles the issue. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. "This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. So that means that the very building cornerstone, the one that is absolutely needed for the building of the building, had come but was rejected. There's no way to build a house without this cornerstone. There is no way to establish anything without this foundation. And of course, he is the Lord Jesus Christ. Say hallelujah. So this is a very significant message that is being relate to the leaders and the top of the religious hierarchy there in the city. "Neither is there salvation in any other," this is verse 12, "neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." This is what stirs up things. Because even as Jesus was ministering, when he was on the earth, he wasn't so-called nice to everybody. He called some people of the devil. Some people were in the light, some people were in the darkness. Bible talks about people that once were in the darkness, but now are in the light. That's why this name was given, so that through that name, this name of Jesus, that wonderful name, we could be saved and we could be made whole. We could receive eternal life. We could receive forgiveness of sins. We could receive this new, abundant, amazing life.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And there's no other name. There's no other name given but just the name of Jesus. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, when something takes place on the inside of you by the power of the Holy Ghost, you may be educated or you may be uneducated. You may be younger or you may be a little bit older. But let me say this. All those things are going to be secondary when the Holy Ghost takes residence on the inside of you. They won't even remember what age you are. They won't even remember if you were a man or a woman. All they know is that that person that just, I had an encounter with that person and they were carrying something that did not come from the earth. I know they had been with Jesus. They had carrying something that's heavenly. And I know I got to find out more. Hallelujah. So they thought, these guys are ignorant. These guys are uneducated. They should not be talking with this kind of a confidence. I'm talking about a heavenly kind of confidence. We need heavenly kind of boldness and confidence in this land where everybody's all stuck in their heads, especially the preachers. Lord, help us this morning. People sharing from their thoughts. It's time that we get a new generation of evangelists and pastors and apostles and prophets and teachers to rise up in this land who actually minister out of the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, to the hearts of people.
Amen.
This is not an intellectual education institute that we have here this morning. We didn't come to just distribute a few pieces of information into the shelves of your head.
Let me take that piece of information, place it on the top shelf. This is wonderful.
I'm telling you, when Peter stood up and when he began to declare, when the apostles stood up and they began to declare, it wasn't some information they were distributing like they had learned from the learning institutions, but it was the Word of God empowered by the Holy Spirit, and people began to, their insides began to get stirred up. Their heads were still, this is not right. But on the inside, they knew something was happening. Something needs to happen in your heart today. Somebody's going to leave today changed. Because revival is about change. You won't go back home the same way you came. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they confirmed among themselves. I'm sure there's a bunch of councils conferring even this morning what to do with this group of people here in Vanta who smile even on Sunday mornings, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them is manifest to all of them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it." Let me give you a little heads up, as this is the year of signs and wonders in Finland. That supernatural, miraculous power in your life is going to bring in some supernatural persecution. So you can refer to my message as an advance warning. But I'm just quoting what Jesus said, because if they persecuted him, he said that servant is not greater than the master. If the perfect one was persecuted, then we as his servants are going to receive persecution.
Amen.
So we can just expect it, so it'll be okay. When people hate us, like, praise the Lord. Jesus said in Matthew 5, it'll be okay. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That'd be terrible if they spoke bad things about me, made fun of my face, the way I talk, call me uneducated. That would be terrible. But that it spread no further, we're in verse 17, in case you just jumped in Acts 4 and 17. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth no man in this name. So we're going to threaten them. So it's not just a disagreement. Now there is force. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Hallelujah. It's time that our land is going to see and hear about the great things that the Lord is doing. And they are going to see it through your life. Amen. Come on, raise your holy hands to heaven. And just take a look at those hands. Mark 16 says, you shall lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover. That's not my opinion. That's not just the church's opinion. That's not just the church's doctrine. That is the word of the Almighty God that is eternally established in heaven. And when you lay your hands on the sick shall recover. Amen. They have no choice. Somebody says, I'm sick myself. Lay hands on yourself. Praise the Lord. Start at home. Amen. It's time to see and hear. So when they had further threatened them, I wonder what they said. Probably looked really angry. You know, religious people are normally very angry. Religious people are rarely happy. They look constipated. You can only imagine what it must have looked like. They would like, don't do this. You can't win souls like this. You have to put them through a 3-month training. You can't just tell them they can call on the name of the Lord on the street. They have to go through our church's protocol. You know, there's churches in Finland that if a wrong preacher leads someone to the Lord, they're not really saved. Yeah. One evangelist went to the city, had a meeting, and people answered and wanted to ask Jesus to come into their life. And they wanted to go to a local church, but the local church wouldn't take them because the wrong person led them to the Lord. I'm telling you, people, leaders will be held accountable for the nonsense. They will stand before God for holding back what God wanted to do. This is beginning to be the final moment when it's time to get with the program. It's time to lay aside everything that is secondary. With the pure heart, seek after the Lord and grab a hold of what heaven has for you. Lay aside every kind of agenda. Jesus didn't come to start a denomination. He said, I come to build my church. He's building his church. And you may not even like some of the people that are building with him. But Lord is doing a work. And he's using some unusual people in these final days. Well, it's not the official. Well, a lot of people that are covered under the official covering are doing absolutely nothing. The only thing they have is left is the official. And it's time to get stirred up. It's time for things to be shaken. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. So they further threatened them. Then they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had showed. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. It's so important that you have your own company. It's so important that you have your own company, that you're not just by yourself somewhere, because you will face challenges, persecution. Things are going to get heated. So you need a family that you can come back to and say, hey, I need to take some time with my family so that I can get stirred up, so that I can get aligned back with the plan of God. I need to allow the Lord to do a work so that my heart's not going to get hardened and bitter. You know, there's many preachers that they started in the fire of revival, but then somebody mistreated them. Somebody didn't do what they were supposed to do, and then their hearts began to get harder and harder, and now they're bitter and they're just angry. It's so important that we allow the Lord to do a work so that our hearts can stay tender. That you're not going to be a hard-hearted believer, but your heart can be soft, to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Say hallelujah. You can also smile. Amen. Praise the Lord. They went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. This is verse 23 and 24. And when they have heard that, they lift up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God. It's always good to praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. You need to learn to praise the Lord. Come on, somebody. Make some sounds. You need to learn how to just begin. Just, and when you open your eyes, say, thank you for the new day. Amen. So you don't even let your emotions get ahead of you. You let your gratitude, your praise, and your worship. Just, Lord Jesus, I just worship you. Somebody's like, can I do that? Yes. He's always worthy of your praise. Some of you are waiting for a feeling before you praise him. What if I told you that even the feelings follow once you just start to praise him? Hallelujah. Same way as in your marriage. You don't just go by your feeling in the morning whether you're married or not. If you're married, you're married. Doesn't matter how you feel. Rings in the finger. Praise the Lord. Covenants made. You stood before God, a man, and you said yes. Now you're married. Praise the Lord. You don't wake up and I don't feel married today. How much more we are in a covenant with the Almighty God. We've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. As Jesus was raised up from the grave on that beautiful morning, we rose up. And now our place is seated on the right hand of the Father in Christ Jesus, far above all principality and power. Say praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. So they begin to praise the Lord here. We're in verse 24. Though our God with one accord that said, Lord, thou art God, which has made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all in them is. Who by the mouth of the servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? You know, there is an opposition to the moving of the Spirit. Because the time is running out. So you have to recognize the time is ticking, time is running out, and the Spirit of God that is in you is different than the spirit of the world. In other words, when you are led by the Spirit of God, you are going to upset some people. If your life upsets nobody, I have questions. If nobody hates you, you're doing nothing. I can't believe I came to church for this. They told me people are supposed to hate me. Not everybody. If everybody hates you, look in the mirror. If nobody likes you, something is wrong. But I'm saying that there is an element that will come against the Spirit and that agenda that God has for you, because there's an agenda in the world. And if you want to fit into this world, you are not going to be moving with the Spirit of God. But by the victory that was brought to you by the Lord Jesus Christ, you are to stand up and praise and shine and burn with the fire of the Holy Ghost, so that you set even the buildings ablaze where you're going. and you're going to be like a holy pyromaniac. Everywhere you go, there's going to be fire. Amen. Say fire.
Fire.
Praise the Lord. You guys are a bunch of fanatics and radicals. I'm in good company. Amen. The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For the truth against the holy truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, but both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Say hallelujah. We just ask the Holy Spirit to make this word so alive to every heart and every life this morning, that your life will never be the same and never ever to be the same. Say hallelujah. One thing about revival, you have to realize that God wants to bring revival at any time, at any place. Let me say that again. At any time, at any place. Revival is not a sovereign move of God. It is a sovereign move of God in light that that sovereign move happened 2,000 years ago when the Holy Spirit was poured out and he came to fill the people, his people, the temples. We become the temple of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit has come. But when the attitudes, when the hearts, when the mindsets, when the lives are in right place, then there's always going to be revival. I said there's always, it doesn't matter geographically. There is no weather consideration. It doesn't go by the fact that there's too much snow, Pastor. There's no way the Lord can send revival. I'm saying this to you as a statement. Revival can come at any time, at any place, if the conditions are right. If the hearts are there, if there's hunger in the heart, if there's attitude, if there's pure hearts and clean hands, when people come with perseverance, they come with attitude of determination, hunger and thirst, and they come into the Lord's presence together and say, Lord, we want to see your hand in our land. God will always show up. But the issue is if there's strife, if there's jealousy, if there's envy, if there's lust, if there's hatred, there's discord, there's issues of the heart, there's things and all kinds of, God can't come into a situation like that. But I'm telling you that God is not in heaven just looking at his watch and thinking, no, not right now, not right now, not right now, maybe later. But he's waiting on us to cry out. He's waiting on us to step in and say, Lord, we want to see your hand sweep through this land. He's always ready. Sometimes we make this like a mystical thing. Oh, Lord has mysterious times and hours. But really, when a heart is consecrated for the Lord, when the heart is crying out to the Lord, let hunger rise up. Let thirst rise up from your heart. And you say, Lord, I'm here. I'm available. I'm a vessel. I want to be of your use. He's always ready to pour out his Spirit. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. The place was shaken. Think about this. There was a lot of outside pressure. The leaders, the priests, the ones that were head of the religious structures in those times, they were coming against them, telling them, you, with the threat of violence, imprisonment, said you cannot continue. What did they do? They didn't draw back. They didn't make the message acceptable for that hour, but they stirred up that they went together in prayer and they decided we're going to take this thing up to another level. We're going to pray. We're praying for the Lord to fill us up again. I don't know what you faced, what you've been through. Maybe you've gone through some disappointments, some challenges. Maybe you've been through a storm in your family relationship, in your finances, in your business, in your ministry. I don't know, but let all those things just become like fuel for your hunger and say, Lord, I'm not done yet. I'm thirsty. I'm hungry this morning. I want what you have for me. We want revival. We want to see your hand. We want to see the fire of the Holy Ghost burn in our land.
Yes. Oh, hallelujah.
You may be surprised to find out that not everybody wants it. Because you know, when the Holy Ghost comes, everything is going to be exposed. A lot of people think they want revival, but when the fire begins to burn, you find out what you really want, because you have to change. If you think you're just coming here once a week to light a candle, figuratively, because we don't have a place to put candles in this church, we also don't have any other things to bow before. We bow before the one, amen. But you can't just come here figuratively to light a candle. A memorial before I sing the song and then I go back to my life. I'm telling you, when the fire begins to burn in your life, when the Lord begins to move, He begins to lead you, you can't just continue doing some religious ritual. You can't just keep doing some charismatic, Catholic, Pentecostal, or Lutheran tradition that you've been doing all your life, because your whole life is going to be turned upside down. You're going to be ablaze for Jesus. And people can't keep you quiet.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
With every fire, there's a siren. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Somebody's thinking, why is there somebody making a noise? I'm more concerned about the people that are just sitting there and looking down, like they are one of the statues in a wax museum. He's alive! I believe the time has come to a critical point in our land where we must have a national awakening. It's time for the church to get on fire.
Amen.
It's time for the preachers to get on fire.
Hallelujah.
It's time for you to look less dignified, less professional. It's time for you to look like there's something ablaze in your spirit.
Well, in Finland, things are different. You know, I said that one time to my pastor. I told him, things are different in Finland.
There were other ministers in the room. He rebuked me in front of everybody. Don't ever say that. Yes, sir. I'll never say that. But it's so easy to say, but pastor, you know, my family situation. My wife is very grumpy. But pastor, my finances, they are just, I just came to Finland and I have nothing. Pastor, you don't know my education. When I grew up, my parents didn't have money to send me to school. I have emotional wounds. I've been through these things. I've faced these things. We are professionals from a young age. We become professionals in coming up with reasons why things don't work for us. So when we come around in a meeting like this, we have all these things in our heads, in our mind, in our hearts. We say, well, it's nice for them, but it doesn't work for me because of this. It's nonsense. It will work for everybody. God is not a respecter of persons. Jesus is the same in Finland today that He's always been. It's got to do with the mindset. It's got to do with the heart. And when the heart is hungry, when the labor, when your thinking is straightened out by the Word of God, there's a river that begins to flow in your life. Woo! Some of you need to get up and tell some things in your life to line up. You've been sitting in the corner for too long. You got to use the name that's been given to you, the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. There's no difference in location. There's no difference in nationality. There's no difference in language. There's no difference in education, your family situation, your marital status. When your heart is pure, you cry out, your mind is straightened out, there's going to be a wind that's going to blow. There's going to be a fire that's lit. Some of you are still trying to hold on. But Pastor, I just want to be a proper evangelical. Jesus. You know, there's tradition and religion in all the different groups. Sometimes we point at certain groups like Catholics or Lutherans. We say, you know, they have their traditions. But then there's so many traditions in the charismatic. There's so many traditions in the Pentecostal. It's time that we get into the pure worship. It's time we get into the pure, unadulterated Word of God. We just believe if He said it, that is so. It's for me, and I'm submitted to the Word. I'm yielded to the Spirit of God. But then that wind begins to blow. You find out there's going to be some changes. You can't go back the way things were. Say hallelujah. In the second chapter of the book of Haggai, we read earlier from the first chapter, the Bible says this, Haggai 2 and 6, it says, "For thus said the Lord of hosts, yet once is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth, and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, said the Lord of hosts." We're living in the time of the shaking, but the challenge is going forth this morning that will you allow the Holy Spirit to shake you? Will you allow Him to shake you? Because He comes when He's welcome. He comes when He's invited. When He comes when there's a heart that cries out and says, "Lord, do a work in my life. I don't want to be the same. I don't want to be reserved. I don't want to be shy. I don't want to be put to the back row when you're moving, Lord. I want to be where you want me to be." Oh, hallelujah. I feel the fire of the Holy Ghost. Somebody's going to leave today changed. Joku lähtee muuttuneena tänään Tampereeltakin kotiin. Kerta kaikkia. Varkaudesta. Oulusta joku lähtee muuttuneena. Hallelujah. Joensuus. Herran läsnäolo tiivistyy. Lahdessa kerta kaikki. Vaasassa, Suomen aurinkoisimmassa kaupungissa. Oh, halleluja. Kiitos, Herra. Riihimäellä. Missä tahansa sä katsotkin. I'm telling you, this is the time of the shaking of the nations. But you have to make a choice. Are you going to sit in the back row somewhere far? And no offense to anybody in the back row today. But I'm saying this figuratively. Are you going to just look at it from the bleachers, some section in the back, as the Lord is shaking the nations? But if you allow Him to shake you, if you allow Him to come with this mighty Holy Spirit to move on the ends, to change your life, you will not just be looking at the Lord shake the nations. You'll be in the front lines. I see Europe being shaken. There's so much religion. There's so much tradition. There's so much religiosity that just has to form, but no life. And the Lord is calling His people. Will you allow Him to shake you? This is not just information. This is not just history. This is something that you must experience. Christianity is not just a study. It is an experience. It is an encounter with the one, the Lord Jesus Christ. He comes to change your life. This room this morning is full of people that will shake nations. You don't know who you're sitting next to. That person next to you that looks like a normal dignified person that you just say, oh, that's a nice person. And they may be, but I'm telling you, in these final days, the Lord is going to raise up people to shake whole regions. There'll be people from this room, from this group today, and also everyone in the cities is included when I say this room, that there is people that the Lord is placing His hand on today, that you'll go to a part of Finland and you will shake that part. You will go and the glory of the Lord will show up. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me ask you a question. Do you want, really and genuinely, do you want the move of the Spirit of God? Because when He shows up, things will not be the way they were. You will not be doing the same things you've done before. Your prayer life is going to change. People will notice you and they will start to criticize you. Certain people in your family, friendship circle, they don't like you anymore when you're on fire. They liked you when you were religious. They liked you when you lit the candle. They like to light the candle with you. Let's go take the candle. Just an informational snippet here. I do not go to the graveyards to light candles. I'm sorry to ruin somebody's day, but I don't hang around in graveyards lighting candles. My ministry is with the living. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But when that fire begins to burn, people, there's certain people that won't like it because they liked you when you were Luke. They liked you when you were in the world. They liked you when you were partying. But now, not because of religious rules, but there's a new that's come on the inside. You don't do the things that you used to do. Say hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, the obstacles of revival are not in the heavenly sphere. When the Holy Spirit came and descended like a dove on Jesus, Bible says that the heavens opened. After that, the heavens never closed. The heavens are open. Heavens are open. The issues are in the hearts and the minds of people. And it's the Word of God that does the work in the mind. And it's the heart that must humble. You must humble yourself. The way up is the way down. Some of you are so professionals, you know everything. But just like a teenager who thinks they know everything, it's time that we humble ourselves under the mighty hand, under the Word of God, and say, Lord, do a work in me. I'm not even praying for my brother and sister now. Lord, do a work in me. Let my life be transformed. Let your glory fill my heart, my life. I want your spirit in my... I need to see a change in my life. Before you pray for anyone else, you need to have the change. No flesh can stand in the presence of the Lord. There must be humbling. There must be yielding. There must be going down and going lower. It's the offenses, the unforgiveness, hatred, lusts, critical mindsets, the religion of the mind, prideful and high-minded thinking. Those are the things that hold back the moving of the Spirit of God. That's why God can do such mighty things. Think about this. Somebody just comes from the world. They don't know anything. They just hear about Jesus. Jesus loves them. And in His name, there's power to break them free. And they say yes to Jesus. And the Lord sets them free. And they are so excited. They believe everything. You pray for anything, they'll agree with you. They pray and they get all their prayers answered. But then you have some people that have been in the church for a long time. They know everything. The new believer realizes that how much God loves them and how great the salvation is. We must never lose the gratitude. He's God Almighty. And one of the things that are key ingredients in revival is the honor of God. When we came to Finland for the first time, I remember one guy came to church and he took one chair. We were in a hotel conference room. He took one chair, he put it sideways in front of him. He took the other chair, moved it around, sat down, lifted his legs on the seat, and then he's like, okay, I'm ready for the service. Like, you go to somebody else's house and start organizing the furniture, that's how you get thrown out of the balcony. But people have no reverence or honor or respect for the Lord. He's Lord God Almighty. I'm going to give the Lord 45 minutes. If this doesn't show up, I'm going to go home. I'm going to eat soup. There has to come a time in your life when you begin to honor and you respect and you bow down and you say, Lord, I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What a time to be alive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And for some of you, you've seen mighty things. But I'm telling you, just like in a marriage, sometimes you need to refresh the passion. This is not for the unmarried now. This is for the married. See, I would have probably everybody who's married here, you had a good honeymoon. It was exciting. The wedding was exciting. But then as time goes by, there needs to be a refreshing. There needs to be rekindling. Who knows what I'm talking about? You can't just sit in the home at home eating chips without a shirt, with the belly. And then both of you are like, ugh. There should be something that takes place. Let's do something that is going to get us passionate. Let's take a week's vacation. Let's take time together. Let's start loving, honoring, respecting one another. Let's because there's a reason why you get married. This is for those who are married. There's a reason why you get married. It's not just somebody you're living with that's just like, this is a living arrangement. We've been married so long, so where else am I going to go? I know I have to look at his face every morning, but... But there's a reason why you get married. Why not? Bible speaks in the book of Revelation about doing the first works. It works in, of course, firstly to the Lord, but it also works in marriage. That you begin to do those first works. How about coming to church 5 minutes before the praise begins and being the first one who's going to have his hands raised? How about going out on an outreach, begin to share to somebody what the Lord has done in you and start to testify? Some of you have busy schedule. You can do once in 2 weeks. You can come. And you can come and tell somebody else about the Lord. Be passionate. You come for Tuesday prayer. Pray with us fervently. We're going to have a 6-hour prayer, and then we're going to have this spring, we're going to have a 12-hour prayer. So if you've never experienced 12 hours of prayer, you get that opportunity. Something happens in your praying machine when you pray that long. Say hallelujah. In other words, same way you can do in marriage, you can do in your spiritual walk with God. There's times that it needs to be reignited, that you actually look at your wife, look at your husband, you say, I appreciate you, I love you, I'm so thankful that I get to be married to you. I appreciate you and I love you. And then you begin to find ways how you can be a blessing. You can even pray about that. That's not a bad topic to pray. Lord, help me to be a blessing to my wife, to my husband. In other words, you're rekindling. That has to happen in the church consistently. There needs to be times when that revival fire begins to burn again. You don't come to church, I'm here to serve. I'm here to do my duty. If you're just here to do your duty, you already missed it.
I'm just here to play the instrument. They told me I can play this.
You come to worship. You're not just here to sing. You're not just here to usher. You're not just here to do things. And we're grateful for all of the helpers, and we have the amazing ministry of helps. But I'm saying that you are here because of the Almighty God, because you're passionately in love with Him. You're going to see Him face to face very soon, and there's something that He has for you before that, and you have to say hallelujah.